Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Today it's just me. I'm on my way home from work and thought I might talk to you a little bit about sports that's going on. I haven't been around for a while, haven't gotten a chance to record, but I wanted to make sure I got one in before the start of two championship rounds. So first tonight, starting on Wednesday night, we have the Stanley Cup Finals, Los Angeles Kings versus the New York Rangers. The Kings were able to pull out an on-the-road Game 7 against the defending champion Blackhawks, which that Western Conference Final was a really good one. First of all, it went seven games, and any sports series that goes seven games is an excellent series. It's just the best. You can't really get better than that. So to have the last two Stanley Cup champions, 2012 was the Blackhawks and 2013 was the Kings, to have them face off in a conference final with the right to go to the Stanley Cup Finals made it even that much more better. I wanted the Blackhawks because anytime in hockey you can get an original six matchup in the Stanley Cup Finals, it's the best, I think, because classic storied franchises that you've heard about and from large markets. And it works in all the other sports. Think about something like in baseball, if it was a Cardinals-Yankees World Series. That has nationwide appeal, whether you hate both teams or have a passing interest in either one of those teams, or just if you want to see two classic franchises up against each other, that's what you want to see. So in hockey, to see the Blackhawks, because they're the only original six team left in the West, the Red Wings got moved into the East, which I think was silly. I really do. But the old Atlanta Thrashers had to move up to Winnipeg, so you can't have a team in Winnipeg, Canada, in the East, when it's, you know, in the same time zone as, I think, Colorado. So you had to move a team into the East, and Detroit was the easternmost team to flop into the Eastern Conference. So I think they said it's like there's only going to be, from now on, a 6% chance, or less than that, of ever getting an original six matchup in the finals, because it's only the Blackhawks. Now, there are five teams in the East, but you have to have the Blackhawks there. And thankfully, the Blackhawks are successful of late. So right now, it seems likely that you could have an original six matchup. But at the same time, now you have New York-LA, which is just as big of a matchup. Doesn't matter what the teams are. You know, in baseball, it could be Yankees-Dodgers. That's classic. In basketball, Knicks-Lakers, that's classic. The NFL does not have a team in the L.A. market. The closest you could get would be San Diego, but that really doesn't have the same appeal as an L.A. team. Maybe the Raiders, even though they're in Oakland. They used to play in L.A. At least it's the same state, I think. No. So, the Rangers and the Kings, I'm a Devils fan. But I'd like to see the Rangers win. I remember when they won 20 years ago in 94. I remember when Messier and a lot of former Oilers were on the team. Brian Leetch. Just classic stuff against the Canucks that year. And that went seven games as well. So I would like to see the Rangers win. For the original six aspect of it, because they are one of the original six teams, the Rangers. The Kings beat the Devils quite handily in 2012. So I would like a little bit of retribution against the Kings for that. So send in Big Brother. Send in your older brother to take care of that. So, you know, for this aspect of it, I would like to see the Rangers win. Will they? I don't know. At best, you'd want it to be a 7-game series. If the Kings are going to win, I would want it to be in a 7-game series or maybe a 5-game series. Because you also, in championship games, you don't want to see these, you don't want to see the road team win. You want them to win the championship at home. It makes it far more interesting. I mean, you win in an opponent's building, you don't get the crowd behind it. It's not as interesting. It's not as thrilling to see. If it's the home team and they win the champion, that's amazing, because you can hear everyone just going berserk, the cheers, the in-house speakers going just really big. And the last thing you want to hear is boos. The last thing you want to hear is boos at somebody winning, even if it's not your team that's winning. You don't want to hear that. They reach the pinnacle. You know, you have to give them the respect for that moment in time. And, you know, with everything that goes with it, they should be allowed to have that. So I don't like it when they win on the road, the championship on the road. And I know that the Kings are hosting games one and games two. And then in hockey, they have a 2-2-1-1-1 breakdown. So two games at home for the Kings, two games on the road, games three and four. Then they get games five and game seven at home, with game six at the Garden. So in that respect, I would want the Rangers to win it in six games so they can have it in their building. And you don't want to sweep. I don't care. It doesn't matter who you're a fan of. You don't want to sweep. It doesn't make it as interesting. You can point to it and say they're a very dominant team if you win in a sweep, if you sweep a championship round. But it's just not interesting, and it doesn't make it memorable. You know, if you think about a team that has a couple of championships, you know, Yankees in baseball, Cardinals in baseball, the Canadiens, the Red Wings, even the, who is it? Even the Devils, you know, have a couple of championships under their belt. But you could probably think about which ones were the better championships based on how many games that series went. If it's a 4-game sweep, you can say that was a dominant team, but it's not the first championship that'll come to your mind. I'll give you an example. I know that the Avalanche have won at least two cups. I believe two. They might have won a third, but I do remember two. The first title came, I believe it was 95-96, and they were playing the Florida Panthers. They swept in four games. They later beat the Devils in a 7-game series. That is the much more interesting Stanley Cup Finals, and it's one you can remember. You will probably remember more. I remember it also because I'm a Devils fan, and they beat the Devils. Also, Ray Bourque won his first title that year. That was a great matchup between Brodeur and Patrick Waugh. I mean, so many names and faces, if you know hockey, were in that series, and how special it was, that whole series was. Whereas the Avalanche sweeping the Florida Panthers is not interesting. All you know is they won and they beat the Panthers. That's all you really know. They beat them in four games. Whereas I could tell you much more about the Avalanche Devils Stanley Cup Finals. You know, the Red Sox, the last two championships they've won have both been sweeps. Now, it points to the dominance of the 04 and 07 Red Sox. But those aren't classic series. You know what? The most memorable Red Sox series were? Well, first of all, they were all losses, but they all went seven games. 1975, Red Sox Reds. That was Fisk with the homer. You know, trying to push it, make sure it goes fair. The 67 Red Sox Cardinals, the impossible dream, and Jim Longborg, I should say. And then, of course, the 86 series. That is one of the most memorable World Series of all time because it went seven games. I can guarantee you, and in fact, I think Sports Illustrated or ESPN did a study of, or at least ranked, all of the World Series. At least the top five went at least six games. I know one went six games, and that was the 95 World Series Indians-Braves. But that was because they were all one game, one run separated, like almost every game. The amount of scoring, the extra innings I think they took into play and stuff like that. But down at the bottom, they were all sweeps because they're not interesting. Yes, those were probably very dominant teams, and some of them were the Yankees, and there were some pretty dominant years with the Yankees. But they're not those years that come right to mind. Now, if your team has one championship and they won it in a sweep, well, then that makes sense. Of course, you're going to remember that. It's your only championship. But if it's more than one, you have to think, okay, well, this one went seven games, or at least this one went six games. This one was a sweep. You know, which one was more interesting? Well, the game that went six, the series that went six games. So all I'm saying is in hockey and in the NBA Finals, don't be a sweep. Don't even be a five-game series. That's, again, 4-1, that's still dominant. At least if it's 4-2, there's a chance. Because when you get to that sixth game, all right, the underdog, the team that's down 3-2, they're going to fight for that last game. Like game six is a game seven for them. So you want to have that. So I want the Rangers. I don't know if they'll win. I want it to be at least six games. Now moving to the NBA Finals, kind of the same thing. Here we have the Heat against the Spurs. Now, this is a rematch of last year's title game. And last year, I remember all the Spurs and Tim Duncan were talking about, oh, you know, this might be it. And Ginobili was not himself. And it was a weaker Spurs team. And that went seven games. And that was really interesting. The Spurs were leading 3-2. And the Heat put on a furious comeback in game six to pull it out, and they won it. And then they won game seven. Now, did I like that? Me, personally? No. Because the Heat won. And I don't like the Heat. I'll never like the Heat as long as LeBron's on that team. Because of the way he left Cleveland. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get over it. Cleveland's not going to get over it. You know. They built a team around him in Cleveland, and he just upped and left. Now, Cleveland's been getting a lot of karma for it because they've had, I think, the past two number one picks in the NBA. I know they've got the first pick in this upcoming draft. So they're, you know, karmatically, it's being made up for them. If they can turn it into something, we'll see. But it's a good start. So, you know, I want the Spurs to win. And I'm not much of a Spurs fan. They're a very good team. They're dominant. They have a good coach. They do have good players. That's undeniable. But they're, you know, as much as we say, you know, we don't like flashy, we do like flashy. Because flash is memorable. You know? That's why Magic is memorable. Not just because he was a great player and he won several championships and, you know, personal accolades, but it was showtime. It was, you know, constantly moving up and down the court and, you know, flashy characters and, you know, L.A. itself being, you know, a glitzy place. So showtime is more memorable, and especially the Bulls. The Bulls are a memorable team because of Michael and Pippen, Tony Kukoc, and when they got Rodman. I mean, that really cemented it and put it over the top. So to have that happen, you know, that makes it much more interesting. But ever since David Robinson retired, this is not an interesting team. They're interesting in how they perform, and they perform very well. I recently saw something that they, after a couple games ago, they became, like, what was it, the, I think Parker, Duncan, and Ginobili set a record for most playoff games played by a trio. Or it might have been just Parker and Duncan. But the point being that these players, this core group of players, have been together for so long and have played so many games together, that shows how successful they are. That, I mean, Pippen and Jordan didn't have this many. And Kukoc or Rodman or Magic, Kareem, and, you know, Worthy didn't have these many games together. Something like that. And, you know, it shows their longevity and it shows their success. And a lot of that has to do with Popovich. But it's too workmanlike. It's too everyman. You know, I know that sounds a little bit ironic coming from somebody who calls his podcast Everyman Sports. But this is a championship team. You want at least a little bit of that sort of killer instinct. And you want it worn on their sleeve. And you want it out there to see. You do want a little bit, at the very minimum, a little bit of the braggadocious attitude of the over-the-top stuff, the celebrations. But, you know, just like the thing with Tim Duncan, a knock for him is that he's so plain, he's so underrated that he's not going to be up there because he's dull. He's a great player that will never ever be taken away from him statistically, and if you watch him play, it's great. But sometimes he just becomes invisible, and which is so odd for, first of all, a big man, especially a big man now, because there's not many big guys in the traditional sense. Everybody's big now. You know, LeBron's what? He's 6'7". I mean, 6'7" used to be centers. Now he's a forward. I mean, so the traditional big man is out, and Duncan fits that criteria size-wise, but he's just not the type of person who wants eyes on him, except when it's game time. And again, you don't always want, you know, a Deion Sanders or a Reggie or somebody who's out there, you know, a Joe Namath, somebody who, you know, sort of makes a brand of themselves. You know, sometimes you do want a player like Tim Duncan off the court. Now, if anything, he should be a role model for so many players that, you know, are the antithesis of him, are the opposite. So, you know, unfortunately, in the end, it will take away some of the Spurs' legacy. Because they have, what, four? I think four titles. Maybe three or four titles. I forget which. But, I mean, to think about, you know, Duncan has at least four rings, I believe. So, for him to, you know, he has a rightful place in the history of playoff basketball and of the NBA itself. But when you think of great teams, you're going to think of Celtics and Lakers first. And Bulls. You're not really going to think of the Spurs right away. Because they do their job. They do it very well. But it's not as interesting as any of those other teams. So, what do I want to see? I want to see the Spurs. I don't want to see a sweep. There's no possible way that Spurs could win in a sweep. Seven games again would be great. I think so. Probably, but six. I forget who has home court advantage, but I know the Heat had it last year because they won at home in seven games. I don't know. I think its best record gets home court advantage. So I forget off the top of my head who that is. So again, I want to see the Spurs. I want to see the Rangers. That's what I hope for. So baseball's going pretty well. We had a no-hitter just recently. Josh Beckett threw his first no-hitter. And this is, you know, good for him because this is a guy who was thought of as a done commodity. You know, he's sort of Clemens-esque. You know, a big Texas pitcher who throws a nasty fastball. You know, just heater after heater. And he has a good, you know, he's had other pitches, good curveballs and other stuff like that, but, you know, he was cut from a mold of Clemens and Ryan. So for him to throw his no, and you know, this is after he was given up on by the Red Sox, you know, because of the fried chicken and beer incident that happened with the Red Sox a couple years ago. They got Francona fired and a lot of other players in trouble. You know, he was thought of as somebody who doesn't really care about the game, or he doesn't care about his abilities in the game. You know, not that he gave up on his abilities or didn't care. It was just his head was somewhere else. So, you know, to have him throw a no-hitter the first one of the season, you know, it was good for him. You know, and he did it in a hitter's park. He did it in Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. So good for him for being able to do that in such a small stadium. But it seems like, you know, the baseball scene's going really well. Mets are, they could be doing better, especially with men on base, but what's new? They got rid of their hitting coach. I guess they think that's going to change something. I don't know. But, you know, a coach is there to help, not to hit. The coach can't get up and hit the ball. So if you're not performing, you know, it's a lot easier to get a coach who makes a couple thousand dollars a year, you know, fire him, get a new guy in there, as opposed to adding or cutting, you know, the guy who makes millions of dollars. And they, you know, they need to open up the wallets. They need to get better hitters. But I don't know what the situation is with the Wilpons and the whole thing with the Madoff scheme, how that's going on. They said that they could open it up and make, or I should say spend more money this past off season. Spent a good amount, but you know, this better be just like a baby step or the first step. You know, next couple years. You know, I know Chris Young is a 1-year contract. He's an outfielder, and right now he's not performing. So thank God that's a 1-year contract. Get him off the books. You know, spend a little more, and get a better hitter next year. So we'll see how that's going. Football's training. Some training work's been going on, the draft. Those players who got drafted are working out at some early training camps. Training camp doesn't start for a couple, for at least another month and a half or so. So, but not too much else in terms of that. Saturday is the Belmont Stakes. California Chrome is going for the jewel. The final jewel in the Triple Crown. So I'll be watching. I know it's Saturday on NBC. I'll be there watching because I'm interested. You know, in the past, I don't know, well, we haven't had a Triple Crown winner since the 70s. I believe it was affirmed, I think. I always forget which one was the last one because you've heard of Secretariat. You heard of affirmed Seattle SLU. That's a big one. I know Seattle SLU is an older one. Did Seabiscuit? I know they made the movie and wrote the book. I guess Seabiscuit won. But what you're really hoping for is the Triple Crown. It's the first time in a long time that we would have a winner. You know, there have been threats to the crown before, but I don't know. California Chrome's seems a little bit more likely. I'm not gonna say that California Chrome's gonna win. But the chance of it happening is a lot better, I think. So I hope you'll be watching. I'll be watching that. Tonight, Wednesday, is game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. Tomorrow is game one of the NBA Finals. That's on ABC. And, you know, thankfully NBC has made the right decision. You know, in the past couple years, they've been putting game one on what used to be Versus, now it's the NBC Sports Network. So at least they know, put game one on NBC, because what they would do is from game four on, they would put it on NBC. Like the first three games were on some network hidden in the thousands. So now at least it's on NBC for game one. Game two and three are on NBC Sports Network, NBCSN. So I understand games two and games three, you know, and then, you know, those are in the middle. At least game one, you get the idea of who these players are, what you might want to look for later in the series and gain some interest. And then 4, 5, 6, and 7, if it goes that far, will be on NBC because they want to see a champion crowned. You want to see that you want more people to be able to see that. So, and I think the NBA Finals are all on ABC, so they're at least smarter with that. Because more people will most likely watch basketball than they will watch hockey. And they're more likely, because, you know, LeBron is LeBron. Everybody's heard of LeBron. You know, how many people have heard of Henrik Lundqvist? Quick. Jonathan Quick, the goalie of the Kings. How many people have heard of these people? You know, there's a lot more name recognition in the NBA than there is in the NHL, unless you're talking like a guy like Gretzky, Lemieux, and maybe that's about it. So, we'll see. Thank you very much for listening. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can go to our website, everymansports.podbean.com. You can search for us on iTunes. Just search Everyman Sports in the iTunes store. Leave a comment. Leave a rating or a review if you could to help get the word out about this show that you love. And you can also email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Thank you very much. Take care. Stay dry and stay cool. It's warm outside.